The Social Geeks is a Spike Studio production. It's The Social Geeks episode 25 for April 7th, 2010. Welcome everybody to another Social Geeks, this one with a special guest and the rest of the crew you're used to. Episode 25, she certainly can hold her breath. You're only here to be random. You're not you're chat roulette. We have Skype roulette tonight. So it's, welcome everybody, another Social Geeks. This one, a different crew of sorts. We've spun the chat roulette wheel of Skype and landed on Jeff. Jeff is a geek, one of the regulars, of course. Jeff, how you been, man?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great now. Thanks for asking.
That's good.
Thanks for calling and checking on me for a few weeks. I appreciate it.
Yes.
And a newcomer to us, but not a newcomer to the big game itself. I've known him for years. He is now a social media, you know, full product. Man, you're going to tell what you do anyway. So, Alan Lapasta,
sure.
How are you, Alan? Tell him what you do first. Go ahead for it.
Hi, Chris. And I unfortunately was part of your not feeling well, so I'm glad you're back to feeling well. So my name is Alan Lapofsky, and I am currently the director of product marketing at Social Text.
Excellent. How long have you been there now? A couple years?
I've been there a year and a half. Yeah. I think July, August will be my 2 year, so approaching 2 years. Oof, feels like a long time.
Let's light them up with your guys. You did a huge April Fool's joke. It went over very well. It was last week. I mean, it was only a few days ago. So you guys came up with a chat roulette for the enterprise, which was absolutely hilarious. How many hits did you say you got?
We've got about 3,000 YouTube hits in the first 24 hours or so. So that was pretty successful, I think, for a small company viral video. We're pretty happy with it. It's a brainchild of our founder and guru, Ross Mayfield. You know, we really founded the company on taking the best of web technologies and turning them into enterprise technologies over the years. So whether it was, you know, wikis where the company started, and then sort of building a Facebook for the enterprise and building a Twitter for the enterprise. So hey, why not build a chat roulette for the enterprise?
And how many people actually thought they could buy that product?
We had some really interesting feedback. There was a lot of people at first not knowing it was fake. I can't believe people would read anything on April Fool's Day thinking it was real. But hey, it's good for us for people thinking it was real. And then some interesting, you know, partner conversations that spun out of it about what we should be doing next in that area. So it was pretty good.
Well, everybody knows we will bookmark your posting of it on your blog to the bookmarks that we post for everybody every time.
Okay.
So that'll be up for you. It's actually on
another 3,000 hits. There we go.
Exactly. It's up. Actually, it's exactly 4 minutes long. It looks very official. I was fully impressed with you guys. How long did it take you to do it? A few days, or did someone come up with it weeks before?
No, it was a couple days. It was there was a lot of ideas, production value things that would have been, you know, wonderful to do. I had some ideas that were a little too over the top for us to pull off in those few days, like, you know, the server room being on fire and things like that. But we're pretty happy with the way it turned out.
Nice. All right, that
a
is
good crew.
It's great. That's bookmarked for everybody to see, and it'll be in the show notes. But that, I loved it. It was hilarious. No one noticed probably at first that it was on April 1st, or they said, what a launch date to pick for this type of product. So,
and the cool part was, in true, I guess, chat roulette format, let's see, where did we cover in that? Toronto, California, Vancouver. I'm just trying to think who was in it. You know, three or four cities at least, you know, from coast to coast were in that. So, you know, true to our word of the way the product works.
Not bad at all. Well, let's do real news. And this one was hot off the press tonight. And I kind of like it. We're going backwards what we talked about earlier. But Google Voice for the desktop. So direct competitor. This is on TechCrunch. It popped up this evening, actually. But so Google buys Gizmo, right? How long ago was that? I'm not sure. How. Does anybody know last November or so they bought Gizmo 5?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so they're a VIP service. And kind of like a competitor to Skype, but Google Voice gives you what? Free phone number, and then the free service here, U.S. and Canada, correct? And SMS capabilities also for free. So now they're saying there's an internal app that's going to be possibly desktop-driven, VoIP-driven, and free. How many of you guys use Google Voice? Both of you or none of you? Or?
Yeah, I use Google Voice.
Yeah, I honestly did more when I was in the U.S. than I do now in Canada, but...
Oh, that's right. We should point that out. You're in Canada, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
All right. Are you in Toronto?
I am.
Big city. All right. So would you think about this? Would you put – is there local numbers for Toronto for Google Voice?
I'm trying to remember when I moved here if that's what one of the issues was stopping me towards using it. I think I had to have U.S.-based numbers, but I haven't looked at it in a while, to be honest.
Well, would you guys use something like this in competitive to Skype, or do you think this will even be a competitor? Is Google just once again flexing their, you know, their big muscle with the name?
Yeah. I think if it can start to integrate with the other Google tools that I use, and it's not so standalone, you know, Skype is, for better or worse, you know, kind of off on its own. You, when you need to chat or when you need to, you go to it. If Google could integrate that into other processes that I'm a part of, my email, my calendar, my, you know, creating documents, whatever it is, that would, I think that would be an advantage to them over Skype.
What about you, Jeff? Could you use that at work?
Yeah, and I think it'd be cool for like text messaging, you know, like if you don't have your phone for some reason, like sometimes I'll forget my phone. I can still text like my wife or my friends, and you can kind of get that on your desktop. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, it gives an endpoint now, and that's something that TechCrunch points out is it gives an endpoint for those calls that you couldn't get on your desk phone or your handset or your cell phone. Mm-hmm. You now have a point. It can go to your PC.
Right.
And that was lacking with Google Voice entirely, and I think that's the whole point of their purchase was we're now going to give you an endpoint outside of your phone. That think about this. So that could be huge for Google expanding overseas too, right? So when I plug up my PC sitting in Europe, when Alan goes and does business somewhere in the world, he's ready to go no matter what number he's using for Google Voice.
Right.
Well, so do either of you guys pay for the services too that go with Skype? Right now, are you paying money for those?
No, I don't pay anything.
No, I just have the standard. I don't have the Skype out payments or things like that.
Yeah, see, I've got the Skype out for the U.S. base in Canada, which is unlimited. So like now, if we're doing a podcast, we can call whoever. But when you go internationally, calling back to a landline, you know, 2-3 cents a minute, I can see Google going, yeah, okay, you know, we'll do it for a penny. You know, we'll take the loss. Let's shut them down and take the loss entirely. Well, they're currently, it says it's only internal. So it's, what is it? Eat your own, you know, do your own internal testing first. So no one in the public has seen this. But I presume if TechCrunch is saying it on a non-April Fool's Day, it's probably a real thing. So
yeah. I wonder if it's integrating with any of their existing VoIP systems or if it's completely standalone. So Google employees have their internal phone numbers plus they're now trying this out, or could this replace their standard phone systems internally?
Well, you already had the Google Voice inside of their Google chat.
Yeah.
But a desktop client that does their telephony as well as, yeah, I could see them making something like that happen. All right, you've been around the telephony, the UC stuff long enough, Alan. You know,
I have. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry not to drag you down that path and beat you with it, but yeah, you've known for some time that was coming up.
Unified communications.
Exactly. All right, this is a big one for you too. So location awareness and the consolidation as well as the new stuff. Who wants to cover the new Foursquare announcement? Take your pick. I think, Jeff, you brought it up earlier, didn't you? Or Alan, who brought it up today?
Yeah.
All yours,
yeah,
Jeff.
I'll go with that. Yeah, they announced today they're going to crack down on the location-based cheaters who like to log in somewhere where they're not. I know I've had some friends log into locations to get, like, the swarm badges and stuff like that, even though they were, like, you know, maybe 5 states away. So I think Foursquare is trying to crack down on that because I know with a lot of businesses now, you know, they're trying to get that business crowd. And if you're trying to legitimize it, having people checking in, you know, like 5 states away might not be a good selling point.
So have you ever done that? Have you ever cheat logged in?
No, sometimes I have checked in. Like if I forget to check in somewhere, I'll go back and check in at a later time just so I get credit. But I can't think of a time that I've checked in somewhere that I wasn't.
Sure. You haven't. Okay. So I'm sure. What about you, Alan? Are you using any of them or all of them, or which service are you picking on right now?
Yeah, so I'm doing the Foursquare thing. A lot of my coworkers in the Silicon Valley world got me into it long before I think it reached the Toronto world. And I went through stages where it was, I'm going to check in everywhere I go and kind of build up, you know, the things that I'm doing and get my points. And then all of a sudden I realized that it wasn't exactly for me. So I check in at occasional places. I check in at the gym and things that I sort of in my neighborhood, but not, you know, random evenings out checking in just so that I can build up points. I think it's wonderful when there's a group of people that I'm partaking in and want to know where people are at a conference or at an event, but hasn't really become part of my standard day-to-day life, letting people know where I am.
Which one are you using? Or is it just, are you using Gowalla, using Foursquare,
Brightcast? Sorry. I'm using Foursquare. And, you know, if you think back, like you said, you know, you and I have for years been doing this type of stuff before Foursquare became popular. You know, you were the leader of the Brightkite revolution within, you know, some of the larger conferences you and I used to attend. So, you know, definitely.
I still appreciate those.
I've been to some of those as well. But definitely, you know, location-based awareness, it's interesting to see it becoming the hot topic right now.
Well, and we'll get to something you brought up earlier about the enterprise. I want to finish, you know, what they're saying about cheating. Sure. That they're going back and saying, you know, there's too many people trying to take control, so we're going to use your GPS location as best we can. If you're within a reasonable range and they won't tell you what that is, then we're going to allow you to do it. Now, here's a catch. Nowhere has Foursquare said they're discontinuing the web service. Have you guys ever used their mobile browser one, the m.foursquare?
I did before they added an app for the Palm Pre. I used the mobile service. And actually, to add to the whole thing about not letting you check in, they're actually going to, you'll still be able to check in, but you won't get any points, mayorships or badges or like venue specials. You won't get, or it won't be credited for that. If you check in, like say I check in somewhere in New York and I live in Kansas City, I could still actually be able to check in there, but it wouldn't count for any points or become a mayor of something, or if there was like a badge or something available. I couldn't get that unless my GPS was showing I was in the area.
Well, and that's what Gowalla has a problem is, if you're indoors or whatever, you can't check in. So if they have bad GPS reception, Gowalla is useless to you. And
right.
They don't give you that capability. And that's a problem. Or if they say use Wi-Fi, I did this one day. I was at a hotel. I don't even know. Alan may remember it, but Plazes. Remember Plazes?
Uh-huh.
Where they got bought by Nokia. So Plazes was awesome. But when you would check in, it would try to attempt to use your location on your PC to help you. Well, if you were at like certain hotels or casinos, I actually was in one city and their bandwidth went out through another city. So the check-in was always like all the way across the country, but on purpose. That's just the way it – well, it was true, but you couldn't. Right. It wouldn't let you check in where you were because it was trying to check you in somewhere else. So, Alan, you brought up an amazing point that people aren't looking at is businesses and the service using it for their own purposes, not for looking at people as consumers, right?
Well, so there's two things that I guess people keep talking about or asking me about and things like that as far as location-based. So on the consumer side, obviously, what do businesses care about where consumers are checking in? Well, from marketing perspectives, being able to, you know, follow their buyers, you know, knowing when people are in stores, when people are in restaurants, being able to discounts and things. But I think that's been talked about a lot. So what is the marketing side of location-based awareness? But, you know, a bigger one even is becoming, you know, how do corporations or organizations use location-based awareness internally? So just like any other sort of what's big on the web, how does it transition its way into the business world? Things like Foursquare. Two aspects of it, the location-based awareness and then the badging aspect, the reward sort of aspect, are both becoming big things that people are asking about for the enterprise. You know, certainly mixed feelings about that. There's some benefits to it. You know, the serendipity of salespeople checking in at customer sites or office locations. You know, if you're a lot of remote workers and it's nice that you're all in your company's, you know, remote worker facility for that day to know which other of your coworkers are there. and quickly form teams and things. And, oh, you know, Chris is checking in the downtown Toronto location. Great. You know, let me go see where, you know, have lunch with him. So there's some interesting things there. I think it brings up some privacy concerns, monitoring employees, things like that, that some people would have issue with.
Oh, no. Now, have either of you played with Looped?
I have not.
Okay. So Looped is another location service. It does something a little more unique. They've just updated their BlackBerry application. The Looped Pulse is what it is, and it's an overlay. And Loop takes it not a Gowalla where you're just trying to check into an event and get a badge or a location, and not a Foursquare where you're trying to be mayor, but it overlays, one, where your friends are, of course, on a map. It also shows you points of interest on the map. And if a cluster of people start checking into one place, even if you have no friends there, it will highlight that for you to show you maybe there's something big going on that you want to be at. So they take a whole new approach for it, and they just launched the enhanced one, Looped Pulse, I believe, for the BlackBerry as well. They have partners where they get their data from, Zagat, City Search, Bing, Tasting Table, which partnered up with a bunch of other people like Metro Mix, which is each city has their own Metro Mix going on now, like, you know, St. Louis here does. So it's moving, like Alan said, beyond a consumer checking in to find their friends or a business saying, I want to know who's, you know, for marketing purposes. Now we're saying driven by random people checking in. Think about that one, you know. So if you get a swarm going, right, like you brought up, Jeff, there's a swarm. All of a sudden, my map on Loop lights up and says, hey, 80 people just checked in over here. You know, maybe you should be over there with them.
Well, what if cars could have that pre-built in and I could avoid where traffic was?
They have that. It was called the Dash.
Yeah. See, and that things like that would be pretty cool.
Dash was an awesome idea that they tried to build their own devices. Now they've licensed it out. For people not familiar, Dash is a GPS system that sits in it. The more people that have the service, the better. And it allowed you to, they would read live traffic data from all the cars and notice variances of speed and then start proposing alternate routes immediately to the other cars coming that way. And they've licensed it now. So I don't even know what had. They're a California company. I tried to get on their beta, and they said no one in St. Louis had the damn device. So,
how about swarms of people in public transit so that when there was far too many people waiting for a bus, they'll send an extra bus?
They just canceled 6 bus routes in our city, and you're asking for extra buses?
Well, I know that's happening everywhere. I'm just thinking of what practical things we can do with location-based.
Zombie outbreaks.
Of course. It
would be. How to avoid zombie outbreaks. There we go.
We'll talk movies in a minute, Jeff. Zombie outbreaks. So what about...
But they move slowly, so they're easy to track.
Exactly.
The swarm never really moves anywhere, does it? What about check.in? Is either of you on the beta for check.in?
I got an account, but...
No phone?
Well, I mean, obviously they're not on the pre. It won't work. And I tried on my wife's Android phone, and it wouldn't come up the mobile site. So I don't. Is the iPhone the only phone that does it now? Or?
No, there's two. Is Android? Apparently, the Android does it well. So check in, Alan. Are you using it?
I am not. You and I were talking about it, but I'm not using it today.
Yeah, BrightKite said, you know what? We've been in this game. We do it differently. I love BrightKite. Worked with those guys for a few years now. Love working with them. No, I'm not on their board, and no, we're not paid. I'm just telling you, I like their service. And, you know, it's the first one that did notes and pictures, and, you know, it would hook into Twitter. It did everything that you wanted to do, but they just somehow were kind of low under the radar. So they came out and said, you know what? We're, you know, Gowalla, Foursquare, BrightKite. We're building a new service called Check.in. So is that India, I presume? Domain-wise? Is that IN India? Does anybody know?
Probably.
Thanks to both of you. So I'm presuming that...
It's not Indiana. There we go. Indiana.us.
It's not Indiana. No, they came up with one service that you log into that then logs you into all the other services. So you check in once across every service.
Right.
Well, there's a catch, and I found this out. If you use check-in to check into BrightKite, Gowalla, and Foursquare, and you have each of those then set to send tweets, you then get every time you check
carpet
in
bomb your followers.
Yes, you location bomb followers.
Nice.
So just, well, and also if you tie that together with the form engine can't cheat any longer. Now you can't, you know, say that you're in four different places on four different services. It's not fair.
Very nice. Good observation. Actually, a good point. So now, yeah, they look at the big pictures. They don't say, oh, be careful. You may now flood Facebook, Twitter, and everything else every time you check in with multiple check-ins. So check.in is a good one. I'll bookmark it, but you had to apply for the beta. You must have a supported phone.
Okay, do you use it, Chris?
I was able to use it once on someone else's phone.
Okay, because I was wondering how that worked with, you know, GoWalla, because their service is totally GPS. So I was wondering how that works, like if, you know, how does it access the system to tell you're someplace if their system is totally based on, you know, GPS.
It does GPS also. When it logs in, that's why you have to have a supported phone that has a browser pull of GPS only.
Gotcha.
But if you don't have, like, BlackBerry won't work. So even a Storm, none of the BlackBerries, I tried on a few, they don't work at all. So it sucks.
And .in is India, just for your information.
For all of our listeners' information, it's India. So they somehow worked a deal to have check.in, which is an awesome idea. I'll give them that. That's an awesome idea.
Yes.
Take a break, everybody, really quick. I need to tell them about our sponsor for this episode. That's GoDaddy. GoDaddy has been a sponsor with us now for quite a few episodes. They're offering you a few different discounts depending on the coupon code. If you want 10% off your order, you can use the code SOCIALG1. If you want to save $5 on any order of $30 or more, it's SOCIALG2. And a domain registration for $7.49 only is SOCIALG3. So a bunch of us here have used GoDaddy and still use it to date. Very pleased with the service overall. I know I personally use it. And hopefully you can get some benefit out of the discount codes we have for you. So that's SOCIALG1, 2, or 3. 10% off, $5 on 30 or more, or domain registration for $7.49. All the information and the links are, of course, in the show notes themselves. Next up was the big announcement today, Gilmore. Alan, you brought that up, the Gilmore thing today.
Yes, the leaving to go work at Salesforce.
And I believe they would take that hard and as a surprise, wouldn't they? Because he's been there with them for a long time, hasn't he?
According to the blog entry, you know, when they posted today, yeah, he walked into the office and it was quite a surprise.
I'm 100%. I was surprised. Overall, it was a weird piece of news. I wonder what's going to happen to, I presume his show's going to continue, you know, that he has, the Gilmore Gang, right? Mm-hmm. As well as his other information. But that's a great move. If Salesforce is the place to be and, you know, they're building what he wants to deal with, that's a great move. But for those that weren't aware, he has now made the jump. And none of us know him personally, so we have nothing else we can tell you.
Yeah, I have colleagues that know the story closer than I do, but I will not attempt to be any inside information on this whatsoever.
Holy cow, you just got really clear all of a sudden, Alan. What did you do? Did you hold your arm out at the right angle or something?
I don't know. I didn't know I wasn't clear before. I'm sorry.
No, I just got like super clear. It was like now we could tell the difference. So, okay.
The ones and zeros from Canada have gotten cleaner.
They've aligned themselves in order.
Yes.
So our missing compatriots, we didn't cover everybody. We usually do, so Alan knows where everybody is. Wayne is working on a project right now. Caleb, the owner of Cal Owen over at Justin TV, is now called into a work event. So you're going to be here. Sarah is online and hiding with the baby. Corvita was online, and we know how Corvita is the past few months. So when you hear this Corvita, just know, we're looking for you. So Lewis Gray, who announced, congratulations, Lewis, on his announcement today of having another child. By the way, if you guys.
Yes, congratulations.
To Mr. Gray, he's going from the twins to another son. Yes, another son is what I read today. But Lewis had a great posting today. He was probably one of the most outspoken friend feed users. Huge following, tons of hits. He gave statistics today, which we'll link, on the number of referrals he would get. And since Facebook has bought them and the usage has gone down, it's basically gone into the trash. To use my wording, not his. It's gone into the dumpers. So did you guys use FriendFeed heavily?
I did.
And now?
I don't.
Every show, you're so succinct with your answers.
It gets to a point where there's so much stuff out there with, you know, keeping up with Twitter and Facebook and doing blog posts and doing podcasts that sometimes you just have to find those services where you know, you're getting the most people are out there. And there still are great people on FriendFeed. There's still a really good community on FriendFeed, but I just find myself not having enough time in the day to spend what I feel like I should, trying to do the whole community thing. So, my usage has definitely gone down. I still post to it. So like all my pictures I find and any updates and stuff still go out there. So people are getting it who are still on FriendFeed. But, I definitely found that my usage has gone down.
What about you, Alan?
I always did the syndication route. I didn't use it directly. When I would use it, clear advantage over Twitter for following conversations. Right. So I would, start information either in Facebook or Twitter. And when it would get to the point where I was frustrated trying to find out who's saying what to who, I would jump over to FriendFeed and sort of, they did a much better threading of responses than currently Twitter is doing or any of the others are doing. So it was more of my, like the second half of the equation for me. It was never my starting point.
I actually had, some lists, some rooms, some groups, some referrals, aggregation. I still use the aggregation point for RSS feeds. Yep. But the traffic from it has been same thing. Huge. If I go search just based upon them, it's just a huge decline. So I don't know what Facebook is doing to it, what they plan on doing. You figure, it may grow, better servers, more. I think they're going to merge it into the whole Facebook stream and bury it. Right. Think about it. They're going to pull in tons of aggregated data already, all your feeds, all your social connections, all your different environments you were in that you were feeding into this aggregator. Facebook now has that content.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that still don't think about that, even though they don't use the service. Facebook is now connecting the dots of your social network behavior.
Mm-hmm. And tie that into check.in, and they'll know what you're doing and where you're doing it.
Well, you saw, a year ago, I put out the Facebook credit card. It was like an April Fool's joke. Mm-hmm. Some people bought it and thought they were doing it, and I said they're going to start telling you what you need to buy. Right? We know based upon what you've done and where you've checked in, you have not been to Walmart to buy toilet paper in the past 3 months. You must be due. Or it's time to buy, your best friend his birthday gift because it's in 2 weeks, and start, telling you what you need to do. And Alan, I think you're spot on with that.
Well, my refrigerator, I actually registered it with a Twitter account, and if I don't talk to it often enough, it pokes me.
Is that what it does?
You need milk.
Who's the guy that does the dog door, so he can check, see when his dog goes in and out of the house. He has a Twitter account for his dog door.
That's cool.
And Leo has the, his scale tweets. When every time he weighs himself, it sends his weight out to the public.
Yeah, I think Jason Calacanis has that too.
Yeah, that's it. God forbid I ever did that one right there. Hey, another. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Another big thing of news just hit, and you guys know who Daniel I always say his name wrong. Brusilovsky is, Teens in Tech. He was the one that got in trouble over the taking a possible – well, I shouldn't say did or didn't. The suspicion was that he was possibly asking for payment for writing certain articles. You guys remember him? He runs Teens in Tech. He just announced he is stepping down from Teens in Tech as the present CEO and turning it over to Spencer, who's been there for he's been CEO for, I guess, since last year sometime. But he just wrote a blog post a couple hours ago, and he's done. He's he's going to be on the board of directors only.
Under suspicion or happily leaving?
he said one of the hardest decisions and posts he's ever written. He worked with Quick. He did the Teens in Tech. He's worked with TechCrunch, where everything kind of went through. But he's basically I think he's stepping aside for right now. So,
hey, speaking of changes, how about the dig thing with Kevin Rose?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a big deal. Kevin now takes over as the big honcho, right?
Yeah, and he's getting rid of the dig bar is one of the first things he's doing.
And so do you guys like those bars? Let's real quick. I know we're going to get to
No, I'm not a big fan of those.
Right, so who uses it? Hootsuite uses it with their Ollie service. Dig uses it.
StumbleUpon has one.
And they take over the actual header and the URL, right, and the redirections. So everything is kind of – it's a frame within a web page frame, right?
Giant fan of Hootsuite, love them, good Canadian company, everything except that. The bar drives me nuts.
What do you think about him removing it? Good move?
I think so.
I think it's a hot move. I think it's one of the best things he possibly could have done overall.
Yeah, and I think I also saw they're gonna unban all the domains that have been banned, I think.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. Actually, I saw that on there. That's correct. He is going to unban things, which opens a whole new door, is him running the show overall. Do you guys think there'll be other major – there's another UI change coming too, right? Isn't Dig making another big update?
Yeah, I think they've been working on it for a while, actually. It just has been taking a while. But, yeah, there's one in the works. I think it's a good move. I mean, he's obviously a name, and you know, he's been pretty successful, so – I like it. It might make me kind of look at Dig again. I've kind of been away from it for a while.
I haven't used it probably once or twice here and there in years. I just once everyone started kind of pushing what went to the homepage, it was really hard to get things moving or get a big article going. When I stopped, I'd go and check things, but I really wouldn't participate much. So,
yeah, and I always hated it when it was more of kind of like a tech and geek type thing. And when they added the other categories, that's when I kind of lost my interest.
So if it's not that, you're done with them, is what you're saying?
That's right.
When they reached out to a broader audience, when they actually tried to make a business plan, that's when he left.
When they thought about more money, more revenue, he said, yeah, again, I'm done with you. I'm totally done with you. What else do we have on the list? Do we have anything else big on there? Alan, I know you have a new roommate. That's kind of cool. I'm pointing that out because you put it to the world. It's not like it's a secret. You posted it.
Yeah, that is very true. I'm very, very pleased with my new roommate.
And
so.
As your new roommate is, she's svelte and
she can hold her breath for a long time.
She can hold her breath for a long time.
Wow, that's intriguing.
So what is the actual
So for those that are following along at home, Chris is talking about my new betta fish. So, and through the power of Social World, because I talked openly about this, I discovered she is not a she. She is actually a he. So thank you to the masses that responded to me saying, look at the fins and by the color definition and all these people that knew far more about fish than I did. It's incredible what the world will tell you when you're open and transparent, but
I had no idea. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty damn funny. Yeah, I'm like out there blogging about Roxanne and how hot she is, and now all of a sudden I have had to change her name to Ichigo.
Rocky. Is it Rocky?
No, I went to a cartoon character I like that's a redhead since she's a red fish, so it's Ichigo.
Ichigo.
AlanLapofsky.net. So everyone can see a picture of this. It is a very beautiful fish.
It's a great looking fish. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Unfortunately,
yes.
It's a dude. So.
let's move on.
I had no idea about that part.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. No, okay, so the serious part, folks, social media is important.
Social media has people poking away going, yeah, you really don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you can discover anything online.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I was starting to cry a little bit because I didn't know that one right there.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Okay, let's leave with one more good one. I think you guys will appreciate this. And it adds to the embarrassment of not only Facebook, but to parents not watching their kids. Well, actually, there's two stories. This one is the 12-year-old boy in the UK who has now amassed a 900-pound, that's not U.S. dollars, folks, in Farmville debt.
Oh, man.
He has purchased using real money. It's 1,400 USD, U.S. dollars in current conversion rate. In 2 weeks' worth of gameplay, he racked up $1,400 in actual spent buying stuff inside of Farmville on Facebook.
Nice.
Remember the old stories of like the first millionaire in Second Life? What was her name? Ansi Chung, for selling fake real estate, making $1 million. I guess this is the new version of that story.
Well, here's the catch is the credit card company won't refund it. Facebook's saying no right now. They're saying, well, it would have been flagged had it been like a gambling site or something. Our systems internally would say, no, it's a gambling expenditure. Stop it. But because it was Facebook credits, their system doesn't flag it, nor is it treated as such because their parents had inputted the credit card for the kid. So he just went to town.
Similar story. Did you see the report yesterday that the estimates at Zynga could be worth $5 billion?
Yes, I did see that. What do they make besides Farmville, the other big one they made? Do you remember?
Mafia Wars.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But $5 billion evaluation. So, wow. You know, take half of that and I'm sure they'll be happy.
Do you think that's realistic?
The article talks about how Second Shares does their projections on them based on, you know, number of shares and how much each is worth and da-da-da-da-da. It's not an industry I'm in, but so, you know, I read it with a grain of salt. But the point being, they're doing well, and it's a real industry. And I think, you know, that's what you got to kind of focus on, is that these entertainment sector meshing with the social world is more what I get out of it, you know, regardless of the dollar values.
All right. Last topic. This is a good one, because then we'll be on time. We got here. Last topic is 16-year-old boy in Arkansas sues his mother in court for what would you think it would possibly be? Hacking into his Facebook account, sending out messages as him, and basically, you know, disruption, destroyal of his image, whatever it was, he sues, and he might win. He stays with his grandmother as legal guardian, not his mother. He's 16, so quote, underage, but according to the local Clark County laws, as well as national laws, she can be accused criminally of hacking because she went into someone else's account and changed his password and posted things as that person, basically taking over his identity as identity theft.
Wow.
There's sounds legit to me.
Yeah, family dynamic I want to be part of.
Well, the question is, her statement is, and this is where she kind of stuck herself, is publicly to the news said, I can log into his account, my account, or anybody else's account because that basically I'm a parent and that's what I should do. Instead of sitting down with the kid or doing whatever, she's saying I can hack in if I want to. So what do you guys think? Does a parent have the rights to take it over like that, or should there be a different parental control that doesn't exist in Facebook? Or think about it. You have to be 13, but there's no parental control over that.
Yeah, but I think if you start posting things as that person, that maybe goes over the line. I can understand if you have access to the account.
No access. She hacked it.
Well, no, but I mean, yeah, if you hacked into it, then yeah. But I mean, the whole thing of should a parent have access to it. But yeah, if she hacked into it, then yeah, she's guilty.
Yeah, that's not, you know, adding an extra layer of security by saying here's an overarching owner of an account. You know, dear parent, take care of your under 18, you know, child. That's, like you said, she tried to be him, like, or not tried right. to, but essentially became him. She didn't add a layer of control on there. She took over his identity. So, yeah, it's bad parenting and bad technology.
What do you guys think? So civilly and criminally, do you think he has a chance first civilly to actually win? Just based on that.
Yeah. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, not a lawyer, but definitely sounds like identity theft. Yeah, I don't think there's any definition of who isn't or who is and who isn't allowed to. Nobody's supposed to, you know, represent you publicly but yourself.
Correct. And someone said, and this is where the funny fight was, and I brought this point up when I was reading it, I was starting to write about it, is they said, oh, well, it was using a machine in the family, so she has the right. And they said, no. The account she was accessing was on Facebook server, so it is a remote server. So it fits under the federal hacking laws, too, not as well as the local Clark County, but the actual federal hacking. I thought it was a good story.
We'll be following it, yeah.
Because the mom, he's looking for punitive damages from his mom. So he might actually walk away with money out of this one right here.
Then he can get an iPad.
It happened. 30 minutes.
I just had to put it in there.
We were at the end. We were getting done, and you had to throw out the iPad word, didn't you? Do you have one? Who has one? Either one of you?
No.
I do not.
You do not. Would you pay 3 times the amount for an application on iPad versus an iPhone for the same app?
I would not.
No.
I would pay $200 to have an iPad. I will not pay $600.
You can walk through security with it. TSA says, yes, do not take it out of your bag, pass, go. Now, $200 is what you're saying?
It's just, I just don't need that device yet. No. Give me another year, maybe.
Oh, and then did you see what HP did with the Slate? They kind of thumbed their nose at Apple today. That has a USB port, SD card slot, same touch control screens, camera. But it also has flash, a camera, what else? It's loaded for $569.
You know, look, it's whatever. We said we don't want to talk about this. Essentially, you know, it's going to start a good new revolution. We'll all benefit from it. And we'll look at this device 2 years from now, laugh, just like if you look at an original iPod now. You know, they'll be bigger and better, smaller and better and thinner and faster and more features. And good for Apple for kickstarting another industry.
Yeah, I said it right. iPad. I call it. It's an iPad, right? It's Apple. Who cares technically? They have the mind share of the people and the ease of use. So they had a two and a half year old on a YouTube video. They handed it to her for the first time after playing the iPhone. She started doing games and launch and stuff. She knew the home button. It was ridiculous. So I feel really old now at this point. All right. Where can they find everybody? Jeff, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me at jeffisageek.net, or you can find me on Twitter or pretty much anywhere else as Jeff is a Geek.
Yeah. Alan?
You can find me on Twitter at Alan Lepo, A-L-A-N-L-E-P-O, Alan Lepo. And from there, you can find all that other stuff. Or just, or I guess if you really want to know where to find me, look for me on Foursquare. Isn't that the point? Oh, wait, different kind of finding.
Check there. In. Check that in. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, Gowalla, whatever it is. And, of course, you know, we'll plug them in, you know, social text. If
people there you go. For... Yeah, please, everybody, you know, please check out socialtext.com.
Right, plug
it. Greatly appreciate it. Yeah, happily plug it. So enterprise social software.
I didn't say do an ad. I just said plug.
I just said, all I said was enterprise social software.
I was waiting to see if you're gonna keep going. I could have just waited. So
nope.
All right, everybody. It's another Social Geeks back
Thanks,
on
guys.
Track. Everybody's healthy, and if you two make sure 1 second to make sure we got it all. Everybody else, you know the drill. We're gonna rotate it through. Whoever shows up, shows up. And for the rest of them, Corvita, Lewis, Wayne, Caleb, Sarah. We'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.